Listeners, did you know each year Americans throw away 25% more trash from Thanksgiving to New Year's? This year, let's turn our New Year's resolution into actions that make a difference by switching to Blue Land. An estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year. And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. It's a lose-lose situation for us and the planet. But Blue Land has made it their mission to do something about it. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful, cohesive design that looks great on your counter. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Refills start at just $2.25. Tab and I are loving Blue Land. We love how great the products work and smell, and the space saving from just having refillable tablets to store instead of bulky bottles is great. Also, we love having it shipped to our doors. It's so convenient and just one less thing to think about at the grocery store. And hello, Blue Land saves you money and helps the planet. What is not to love about that? Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/clink for 15% off. That's blueland.com/clink to get 15% off. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns Early. Acorns Early is a smart money app and debit card for kids that helps them learn the value of money. Teaching my kids the value of money is always on my list, but I'm not the best at keeping track of the money they earn from helping around the house, but I just discovered Acorns Early is a great tool to help with that. Acorns Early Chore Tracker teaches kids that hard work does pay off. You just set up the chores in the app and set the payment amount and then tick the chore off when it's done. Acorns Early lets parents pay allowances automatically, so no more rummaging around the house for cash and forgetting how much you owe them. Kids can spend what they earn with their very own debit card. You know they'll love that. And they get to choose from more than 35 customizable card designs. Plus, parents, we get to keep track of when and where the kids are spending. You get real-time spend notifications. You can set your kids' spending limits and instantly block lost or stolen cards. Now is the time to grow your kids' money skills with bite-sized financial lessons. The Acorns Early app has tons of fun, interactive courses that help kids learn about all things money. So, ready to help your kids learn the value of money? Just head to acornsearly.com or download the Acorns Early app to get started. Paid client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation providing investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Good morning.
It's party time.
It's not party time anymore. We already did that.
Oh,
it's packing time.
It's packing time.
We're both going on trips.
We are. Gretchen's going up to Washington and I'm making my way to the Lone Star State.
The Lone Star State. That's right. Texas. Yeah. Yeehaw. Getty up. I'm going to say that all the time. I love saying getty up.
Oh, my son is all into, he's like, you know, there were cowboys there once.
Still are, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So everything is packed, everything, except for this microphone.
That's
but
right. Good.
The filter for the microphone, just an FYI, if you hear me clicking or sound a little odd, that's why. So
audio
please forgive me.
Audio quality is packed. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. But I am sorry, actually. Really.
Somebody just sent me a text with the hashtag sorry, not sorry. That can suck it hard.
Oh.
So I hate it when people say that now.
Oh, my God. You know what our friend Ailish sent us yesterday? Somebody has a life-size cutout of Justin Bieber.
Oh, I think I saw that this morning.
In their living room, standing there where, like, the front, anybody driving by can just see this creepy, like, silhouette of a man standing there. but it happens to be Justin Bieber. And I'm like, I'm not mad at that at all. Like, could somebody send me a life-size cutout of Justin Bieber?
I'm kind of mad that she sent that to the whole group and not just and didn't exclude you, because I'm like, wow, that is such an idea. Christmas is coming. Hello.
That's the best gift ever.
I could have sent it to you and been like, I know you miss Calabasas.
Right?
Yeah.
You're so right.
Yeah.
I just read on the news yesterday that the unfortunate passing of Lisa Marie Presley's son, he lived in Calabasas right next to my friend.
That's really sad. Way to bring it down.
Sorry, you want me to tell you something that's going to bring it right up for you?
Yes, please.
Okay, so you know the Scott Peterson.
Yeah.
There's more news, dude.
Oh, I don't even know.
They are looking at re-examining his whole entire case.
Well, you think? They should just listen to the podcast.
Well, maybe they did. I know, maybe they did. And basically, I think he might get a new trial.
Yeah, let's hope. You know what else is really exciting? I kind of cannot even believe how crazy people are going. Dexter. Dexter is coming back. It's bananas.
I mean, everybody is super excited. And so
let me tell you, because he's like a true crime. He's like a, well, he's not, it's not true crime. It's fictional, but you know, the basis of the Dexter, because I don't think you watched. He's like a vigilante.
Yes. He goes after bad people and then kills them.
Oh my God. But he doesn't just kill them. He wears this super hot outfit. Okay. Which I bought my husband the same shirt. We called it his Dexter shirt.
Okay.
Okay. And he straps him down on a table. He wraps the whole room in saran wrap, which, you know, I think is super hot that he's excellent at not leaving DNA behind, because that really irks me about criminals. Mm-hmm. And then before he kills them, he shows them a picture of like their victims. So it's the last thing in their brain is who they wronged.
Ooh.
It's super hot. Anyways, okay. I can't wait. And the whole beginning with the egg slicing. Dexter people know what I'm talking about. It's awesome. I love it.
Okay. So I think it's like a 10-part series or something. Is it going to be on Netflix?
Yeah. So last time, the way the series ended was that he was found out and then he escaped, but he was like working in like Alaska or something in the woods.
Yeah.
So it's real easy for them to bring it back because he can just come right back to life.
Yeah, and maybe he'll get those people that murdered all those people in Alaska.
Again, Tab, bringing it down.
In real life, no.
In real life,
just kidding. Right. I don't think anybody should kill anybody ever.
Okay.
Unless you're, child rapist.
I got a crime today that's not about murder.
What? You said you were going to bring back murder. What the hell?
Okay, I'll bring back murder next time. I didn't bring the murder.
Oh my God, you loser.
I did Jessica Chambers was my last crime. That was murder. That was very sad. So I needed to lighten it up. Jesus.
Oh, okay, sorry. Wait. Yes, but I didn't bring murder. I brought missing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. So let's hear it.
Let's hear it. Okay. Today, this is one that I think has all the makings of a crime that is right up our alley, but I thought you probably already knew about it. But when I mentioned it to you, to my shock, you didn't. So
is that surprising?
I know. I don't know. I mean, you didn't even watch Dexter, Tab.
I did watch a couple episodes, but
you did?
Yeah.
But you don't remember them?
No, because that's the thing. Like, I probably heard about this case before too, but it's like watching a movie. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
Also, this is the difference between me and Tab. Tab can just watch a couple episodes of Dexter. I can never do something like that. That's why I don't start all these things that people throw at me. Because if I start, I'm going to finish. I'm going to watch every episode. I'm going to buy my husband the shirt.
You are like that. You're very obsessive.
I'm going to learn all the backstory. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Anyhow, you didn't know about this, so hopefully our listeners don't know all about it either. Today's crime revolves around four ladies in the Big Apple. That's right. Let's hear it for New York.
New York. Four ladies in the Big Apple. Is it the Real Housewives of New York?
No.
Oh.
First, meet Rosie. Rosie is a beautiful girl. She has a really sweet face and brains to boot. She is the daughter of Cambodian immigrant parents. She's always been extra smart and a hard worker. In elementary school, she was one of those kids that sold candy at a markup. Okay?
I did that.
Yeah, I'll bet you did.
Yeah. I did. I sold Blow Pops and I made a good amount of money, and that was in the third grade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
So I like the Rosie.
That wasn't my jam. Okay, at 17, she waitressed at a diner that was next door to a gentleman's club. And when the managers at the club saw her hustle and charm in action, they convinced her to go work for them next door. She did it. And she started making $500 to $1,000 a night. And this was more money than she had ever seen slinging omelets at the diner. But Rosie knew the real money was in Manhattan. All right.
Okay.
Okay. So she
made
her way.
That's where the people have the big bucks.
That's right. So she made her way to Larry Flint's Hustler Club.
Oh.
So this, by the way, I know it's wrong, but I love Larry Flint.
You do?
I do.
You are something else.
Yeah. Okay. Another rabbit hole I have seriously been down. But so this is where she meets Samantha. Samantha had worked as a stripper. And by the way, I'm just going to use the word stripper and dancer interchangeably because I watched a lot of interviews with people and they use the words interchangeably. So don't go sending me some like politically correct word because I'm following it from their mouths. Okay.
Got it.
Samantha had worked as a stripper, dancer, whatever you fancy, in her younger years, but now she was in her 30s, which is ancient for most strippers. So she now...
That's so sad to me.
I know, it's so sad.
30 seems so young.
I know. So now she worked the clubs as a hostess. Samantha was a boss bitch. She knew everybody, all the regular Wall Street guys. She knew what they liked and made sure they had a good time. She kept notes and a Rolodex of sorts of all of her contacts that she called the Get Money List. She had cultivated it over the years. Now, this was the time period where the strip club game was on the rise, with clubs transforming from like dark dungeons with the light up signs that just said like live nudes. Mm-hmm. To gentlemen's clubs with chandeliers, steaks, top shelf liquor. Back when Howard Stern was on his show, having the girls from Scores in New York City on all the time, like it was the best profession for a young lady ever.
Yeah.
There was also that show, G-String Divas. Did you ever watch that?
No.
I didn't either. I think this was the time period where I was too poor to have HBO.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, we did talk about how much, I mean, it's not the same thing, but how much we loved the show Girls Next Door. It was like this time period. And they were all living it up at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, at the time, it just, the vibe was kind of like women had flipped the script. And were taking the power, like they were the ones exploiting men by taking advantage of their weaknesses and taking all their money too. It was like this, you could just walk around scantily.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So it's bananas, when you hear about how much money those guys were spending at the clubs in the early 2000s. Rosie talks about one customer that came in three times a week and spent $100,000 every time he came in.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Her cut was $10,000 of that, right? So the money is bananas, but it comes at a price. Rosie said it messed with her head. She says you start to hate men. And you definitely don't trust any of them because night after night, you're dealing with these guys that are mostly married and get off on demeaning these barely legal girls by, always pushing it with how far they'll go and doing gross shit like whispering, what did your daddy do to you?
Mm.
Sick. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she actually makes a really good parallel why these Wall Street guys and strippers go so well together. They both make a lot of money being ruthless, and then they feel kind of guilty about it. So they blow it all. For the guys, it's on like strippers and blow. And for the strippers, it's on shopping and vacations. But then they both find themselves broke again. And so they have to keep working.
Keep hustling.
It's a cycle. Yeah.
Did they make a movie on this called Hustlers?
Yes, they did. Spoiler.
Sorry. I did try to watch it.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about what a fine film it was.
Okay.
At the end. Okay.
Okay.
So at one point, Rosie got pregnant and had a daughter. She moved in with her boyfriend and tried to live an average mom life. So she left the club behind her. Well, long story short, a few years went by and it didn't work out for Rosie. So she found herself a single mother. She decided to get back into the dancing game to provide for her child. She went to Scorers. And guess who had never left?
The guy.
Samantha.
Oh, Samantha's still there.
Samantha is, she's still there working that get money list. So Samantha's still there, but everything else had changed. This was now post 2008. After the Wall Street crash. And financial crisis. And
yeah.
So the clientele had changed. And so did what the girls had to do to make money.
Rosie they had to do a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. Rosie says the new crop of girls working were mostly Russian and Colombian immigrants, and all of them were drop-dead gorgeous. And on top of that, they were given blowjobs for $300.
Ooh.
Apparently, sex acts have always happened in the champagne room, but it was for a lot more money, and it wasn't mandatory for all the girls working, so Rosie was never into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, are we surprised that that happens in the champagne room?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, we're not. We're not surprised at all. I mean, actually, if you want a little tea that I have heard, I have been friends over the years with some girls that have worked the pole. And one of them told me that she preferred to work at the gentleman's club in Oxnard versus
Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, because she lived in Santa Barbara. So I was like, really, you want to go to Oxnard, which is not as nice as Santa Barbara. Sorry. Anyhow, she said, yeah, because all those cute Santa Barbara college girls are given away the goods, given blowjobs. And they're actually like really strict and like legit in Oxnard. So she drove herself all the way there.
Got it. Makes sense. Okay.
Okay. Also, Santa Barbara Club is not paying us. That was free.
What do you mean?
I mean, now people are going to think you can go there and get a blowjob. Don't hold us liable for that.
Oh, right.
Okay. I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. This was a long time ago. Okay. Anyways, Rosie had a feeling that Samantha was up to something, because while everyone else seemed kind of hard up for cash, she didn't seem to skip a beat. She would roll in her Louboutins like she owned the place. So Rosie said, forget this. I want in whatever you've got going on.
What are you doing?
Yeah. What Samantha was doing was recruiting some young pretty girls that she would coach to act and dress like they had gotten off work at an office and rope a guy in from a bar. Not just any guy. They had to learn how to tell the difference in watches and shoes so they didn't waste their time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then her friend Sam would conveniently show up and they would come up with this crazy idea, like, let's go to a strip club. And
Woo! Then
they would plow him with alcohol and run up his credit cards. Okay.
But how is she making money from that?
Well, clearly she's in cahoots with the club, so she's getting a cut.
Okay, okay.
And you know how it is when you go to a club. Like, you order a bottle of $10
kettle
champagne or whatever, and they charge you $200. I mean, it's pretty easy to, like, run it up.
Okay. Yeah.
So when Rosie joined up with Samantha, she upped the game. For one, she's really smart and pretty. So she was good at doing what they called fishing. But she got a little frustrated because it didn't always work. Sometimes the guys would get too drunk to keep going out, or sometimes they would get to the club and expect sex. So Rosie, being the business-minded mama she was, said, let's outsource that. So they started lining up girls to hook up with these dudes that they got off of Craigslist and Backpage. So now Rosie and Sam are like pimps, madams, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were fine with that. But the problem was that the girls that they used were what you would expect, unreliable and usually on drugs. And this was business to them. So they thought, how can we get around the sex part? Idea. Okay. They would drug the guys.
Oh my God.
It had to be something that kept them up and feeling good so they could get them to the club and sign the checks, but also so out of it that they didn't really know what was going on. They cooked up a mix of MDMA, aka ecstasy, and ketamine.
But doesn't ecstasy make you want to have sex, like, a lot?
Yeah. So they're feeling good, but ketamine, it's like a tranquilizer. It's like Valium. It like also makes you so out of it. So you probably couldn't really
get it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So this left the guys feeling good on the X, and the ketamine like wiped their memories. They had the perfect mix. Okay. They recruited young ladies that were fresh faced, like Karina Pascucci and Marcy Rosen, who had never even worked as strippers. They hit the upscale bars and steakhouses in blazers and just laser focused on Black American Express cards.
Mm-hmm.
When the cards stopped working, or if the bank would, you know, require verification, the guys would be in such a state that they would just tell the girls their mother's maiden name, their social security number, their last purchases. And they would act like they were the men's assistants on the phone with the banks and get the charges to go through.
Oh, my goodness gracious. These girls are like con men.
Oh, yeah.
Con women.
The next morning, the men would wake up and have no idea what happened. Sometimes they would call the girls up and she would assure them they had a great time. They were tipping everyone and they should do it again sometime.
I can just imagine.
Oh my gosh.
You don't remember? We had so much fun.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So time after time, these men would be too embarrassed to take any further action. So they just let it go. And the girls got away with this for years. At the height, Rosie and Samantha were bringing in an estimated $500K a year each, but it was never enough money for them. The more money they made, the more money they wanted.
Well, probably the more money they spent.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Just keeps getting, you just need more and more.
They got greedy, real greedy, and compiled with Samantha having a soft spot for the girls that she had known over the years from the clubs that had, you know, problems.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to give them a chance to get in on the action, but these girls were not professionals and they liked to party too much and maybe just in general, not the brightest crayons in the box. So after one night, when one of the men called one of the girls back the next day and did the whole, what happened to me last night? She didn't handle it like the professional scammers that the other girls were. When this guy begged her to just credit back what they had taken from his debit card because his mortgage payment was on that and he didn't have any more money, he's going through a messy divorce and he has to take care of his autistic son, this girl cracked and said she was really sorry. Well, this guy actually recorded the conversation.
He was smart.
He
kind of was up. He knew.
Well, he went to the police with it. And they said, yeah, we get calls all the time from guys saying they get ripped off from strip clubs. But they're like, okay, sure, buddy. You know?
Yeah.
Right? But when this guy called, they actually listened to his story because they had reason to start thinking that some women were somehow drugging and conning men because of a story about a doctor that had made the New York Post. And I will tell you about that after I tell you what ended up happening to this guy. They have the guy call her back, which she shouldn't have even answered the phone, right? Like, I mean, she right. already knew. He's like, he's not calling to party again. But she's weak, okay? This time she really spilled the tea.
Oh.
And she said, you got hustled by a girl gang. And I'm sorry, we just gave you a sprinkle.
Oh. Like he didn't even get it that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the DEA went to chat with this young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey. And turned her into an informant and set up a sting.
Well, smart for her because then she probably didn't get in trouble.
Yeah. No, she didn't. So they had the girl pick up an undercover agent and bring him back to a hotel room where they were in the next room watching everything. The agent gets to the hotel room and acts like he's completely passed out. The girls get really frustrated because, like, they need him to wake up and go to the club.
Yeah.
Okay. They are recorded talking about giving him a bump of blow to wake him up and drugging him with their normal mix. The agents didn't want the undercover to ever leave the hotel because they say it would be like an uncontrolled environment. So they were just hoping that the girls would take his wallet. But they didn't. And because the girls could see that he was breathing fine and they figured that he would just wake up eventually, they weren't leaving the hotel room. Like, they're like in it. Mm-hmm. And the DEA agents were sick of waiting around. So eventually the agents acted like hotel security, which, I mean, you kind of can't believe the girls even. Like, they act like they're hotel security and they just knock on the door and they're like.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
Hey, what's going on in here? I mean, like a bunch of girls with a guy that's passed, like it's not a big deal, but whatever, they fell for it. They left. Okay. The DEA didn't have as much evidence as they wanted to charge the girls with. So they wanted to think about what to do. So they didn't arrest them right away. They let them go that night. Okay. So rewind a little to before when I told you about the doctor. Okay. So the doctor story is Samantha somehow got this doctor's number, and then when she was going through her get money list, she texted him Karina's picture. That's what she would do. She would text these guys like a picture of
the picture of the girl.
Yeah. Yeah. And say, hi, I'm a nursing student. I would really like to get together with you for a drink. The doctor is young and single and thinks this is like a legit prospective date that could turn into a relationship. Mm-hmm. He says he has plans for dinner with another couple that night, but please join him. What a gentleman, right?
Right.
Karina agrees, but like she doesn't want to sit through dinner. So she doesn't show up until dessert because she doesn't actually give a shit about this guy, right? So the doctor says that what he recalls is having dessert, going to the restroom, finishing the wine that was on the table, and that's it. He woke up to a note from Karina that said, thanks for the best night ever. So he thought, shoot, I don't know what I did, but I want to do it again. So he started texting Karina and they agreed to meet up for a drink. So they did. Same story. Doesn't remember anything. Woke up to a note. So he says, this time he's going to make sure he stays with it. And he invites Karina to a Van Morrison concert.
Oh, I love Van Morrison so much.
I love Van Morrison too, but I do think it's kind of dorky.
I went to a Van Morrison concert last year.
Yeah, but I mean, as like an old married lady, but as like a
old married lady,
young, hip New Yorker, I don't know.
Not so much?
Not so much. Taking the lady to the Cool Jams concert.
Okay, fine.
Karina says the night was painful because they don't serve alcohol until after the show. Did you have that experience?
No, that is so lame.
Yeah. And so she act like you probably can't trust those people over 40 drinking. They don't get out much.
Right.
I don't know. We can't give them alcohol till after. Lame. Okay. So she says she actually had to talk to the doctor and it is emotionally exhausting pretending and fake laughing for these guys. But she powered through. And the doctor doesn't remember anything after the concert.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. This time, he woke up alone in a hotel room with a text from American Express saying they needed him to verify $135,000 worth of charges at Robert's Steakhouse.
How do you spend $135,000 at a steakhouse?
Okay, well,
you bought like a $100,000 bottle of wine?
I guess. I mean, well, okay, come to find out that the $135,000 worth of charges were over three nights and Robert's Steakhouse is what shows up on your card when you go to Scorers.
Oh,
right.
That's smart. So your wife doesn't know that you actually were at a strip club and thinks you maybe just took somebody out to dinner for work.
Yes. Very smart. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he put it together that the three nights that there were all these exorbitant charges were every time he was with Karina. Okay.
And he doesn't remember anything.
Yeah. And he doesn't remember anything. Mm-hmm. So he calls Karina up and Karina actually says, oh shit. Like she didn't cave as much as that other girl did, but she says, oh shit, I didn't realize that my friends had charged so much. And she says she really didn't realize that they had taken him for that much. But she just says like, oh, sorry. It's not like, sorry, oh gosh, you know, it's sorry.
Yeah.
You had a really good time.
Promise.
Yeah. Well, the doctor disputes the charge with American Express and says, he's never been there. And Scores is like, yes, you have. We have it on tape, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they keep all the cameras in front of the entrance. They just don't keep the cameras in the champagne room, okay? But when American Express further investigated, they found that all of the doctor's signatures had been forged. So they sided with the doctor and didn't pay the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mistake, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So this resulted in Scores suing the doctor personally, and they were real mad. They leaked the story to the New York Post in an attempt to just humiliate the doctor and make him pay, you know, an attempt to like make it all go away. Like this loser doctor, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the story first got out, the girls actually thought like, great, finally, this dude will pay his bill. They didn't really think that the police also read the paper and that this could put them on their radar. And it did. And eventually, the four main players were arrested. Rosie, Samantha, Karina, and Marcy. The way this played out is bananas. So Rosie and Samantha are obviously like the ringleaders in mm-hmm. all of this. And they were smart enough to negotiate plea deals for themselves that did not involve serving any time.
Shut the front door. You serious?
They both got 5 years probation.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay, Marcy and Karina, who were just like the fresh-faced bait, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Karina, for one, has real loose lips. She actually talked about her story on camera, like as she's walking up to the courthouse. I mean, don't you know you're supposed to put like your purse in front of your face?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to say no comment. If you give any interviews, you want like money or editing or, you know, something.
Full rights. Yes.
Yeah. All that. She's like, oh, yeah, there's somebody with a camera. I'm just going to talk to him. And I mean, she was really like, I'm just sorry it all happened. Like, I mean, she spilled it. Okay.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh. So you can imagine. She's not that good at negotiating for herself. Her and Marcy both got 16 weekends at Rikers Island.
Weekends only?
Just weekends. But Rikers Island, I think, is...
Yeah, that is...
Not one of the ones I'd want to be locked up. It's not one of those, like, you know...
But weekends only? Like,
Orange
who cares?
Orange is the black places. It's gnarly. Well, yeah. Okay. It's ironic that the ringleaders got off without doing any time, but even the 16 weekends for the other girls seems pretty light, right?
Yeah.
I tried to look into what sentences would be for men drugging women, but when men drug women, they also rape them. So it's like not really comparable. You know?
It's actually kind of funny because these women were like, the last thing we want to do is have sex with these guys. So we're gonna actually drug them so we don't have to have sex with them.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And we'll just make them believe that we did.
Yeah.
That is so typical of, you know, a woman's mentality versus a man.
Mm-hmm. So after the girls were charged, a reporter named Jessica Pressler interviewed Rosie and Samantha for a piece that came out in December 2015 in New York Magazine. It is a really insightful article about the story and how they all got to where they ended up. And it was the basis of the 2019 movie Hustlers, starring
J-Lo.
J-Lo. Okay.
She was Rosie.
No, she was Samantha.
Oh, she was Samantha. That's right. That's right.
Okay, yeah.
I only watched it. Okay, so listen, I watched it on the plane.
You did.
And my son or daughter was sitting behind me, but kind of diagonal so they could see the screen. And one of them was like, Mom, what are you watching up there? And it was like right in the beginning. And I was like, oh yeah, I can't watch this right okay. now. So I watched like the first maybe like 5 minutes of it, but never went back to it.
I don't think you missed that much. I watched the movie.
You did. People seem to enjoy the fact that, I don't know, they kept saying like it was woman power kind of story. But dude, they're fucking criminals.
Oh my God. I don't like, condone drugging anyone.
No,
oh,
yeah. it's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Yeah. The movie is not exactly the real story.
How it happened.
Of it, right. There's a lot of parts of it that are completely fictional. In the movie, J-Lo's character is like the only head bitch in charge.
Yeah.
Rosie's character is portrayed as like a minion that, you know, has like this like conscience and the whole thing is weighing on her. And like, that's not the way it is at all. It looks like J-Lo like took her under her wing. And
that's not what happened.
That's not true. Yeah, that's not how it was. Also in the movie, J-Lo is a stripper. Up mm-hmm. until they run the hustle, which, you know, the real Samantha has a big problem with. She says she hasn't done that in forever. I mean, can you blame them? It's a movie about strippers. Who's not going to get J-Lo to do a striptease?
Dude.
I mean, write it in.
I'm so envious of girls that can do that. I've taken those pole classes, you know?
Yeah.
The exercise, like,
of course you have.
Pole fit or whatever.
Yeah.
Why do you say that? Of course I have. I am very prude, by the way, and I'm very embarrassed about any of it. So it is so out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But I really wish that I could let go and not care and not be so stiff and like, and I wish I had abs that could get my ass upside down on a pole.
Oh, yeah. Well, you do a really good slow motion hair flip, like we've talked about.
I am really good at slow motion hair flips, but I think that anybody would be really good at that. I don't think it's a talent.
As good as you.
Well, you never even sent me that last one that I did.
Okay,
I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
And maybe I'll post it.
And maybe we'll post it if she deems it worthy of one of her top 10. Okay.
But you have to join the group because I'm not going to post it in the regular.
Okay. People are still confused about that, apparently. We have a Housewives of True Crime Facebook page, and then we also have a group.
Yes. And then we also have a keto group, but a dieting group. I don't know. What, like,
we're stupid. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
I don't know if we're stupid.
One of our
reviewers called us vapid.
Oh, okay.
Did you have to look that up? Or do you know what that means?
This means bad.
It sounds bad. But what I thought it sounded like vaping.
Oh my God. Okay.
I mean, I really need to go back to fourth grade.
That sounds like fun. Let's finish the story. Okay. So I give the movie like a 7. But I want to tell you, Cardi B makes a cameo in the movie. Yeah. She has talked about the fact that she worked as a stripper as her former profession. She also admits to drugging guys when she did it in the past. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
She got a lot of flack for admitting that. She said it on like a live Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And people started hashtagging surviving Cardi B, as in, you know, like surviving R. Kelly or Bill Cosby.
Oh my God. Okay.
But she says she did what she did to survive and that people glorify what street guys do to survive, including murder and violence and drugs. And she says she never tried to glorify it. She was just being honest and all she can do is be a better person now. I mean, I guess she has a point.
Somebody wrote that for her, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't give a pass for drugging anyone.
No, I don't either.
Even I have no doubt that these guys were like mostly total douchebags. You still don't get to drug them. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is everyone up to now? Well, Marcy has lied real low since serving her weekends at Rikers, so I don't really know. Rosie and Karina have continued to give interviews. Karina is now working a retail job. Rosie, being Rosie, capitalized on the movie by being a consultant and lived it up at the premiere with the stars. She is working on a book and aspires to be some kind of motivational speaker. I think there is like no stopping this girl. I mean, she'll probably be successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samantha is not happy about the movie, which is hard to believe that anyone doesn't like the idea of J-Lo playing them. By the way, they don't look alike. I'm just going to leave it at that.
They don't?
No. No, they don't.
I need to look her up.
We'll put a... Okay, it's Samantha Barbash.
Oh, because J-Lo is... I mean, I would love J-Lo to play me, and I don't look That's anything right. like her either.
I would like her to dance on the pole, all of it.
Yeah, they don't look alike.
No, they don't look alike. Okay. She says she turned down the consultant offer, unlike Rosie, because they didn't offer her enough money and they wanted her life rights. I watched an interview with her that aired in Australia. Mm-hmm. She looked terrible and was not likable. It was a horrible interview. She acted bored. She didn't say anything except when they asked her questions, she says, I'm writing my own book. I mean, it'll be in there.
By the way, that's why they had to change her basically in the movie because she could probably like sue him or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, whatever. She has an Instagram account.
Is the real Rosie is Rosie Keough?
Yeah. So Samantha has an Instagram account where the only thing she posts is like her in lingerie or bikinis, and she's a big fan of the filters.
Who isn't? Come on.
I know, but it's like every, like there's not it's a like single extra. Picture that is not like a full-on Snapchat picture with like butterflies and stars. And I mean, it's, I'm just saying, that's her game.
Yeah.
Okay. But she has a lot of followers, and one of them is Renee Graziano from Mob Wives, and there is a mob tie-in with Scores. So I might do that story. Probably do it on Patreon. But I found it really interesting. It's crazy that the clubs were like clearly in on the hustle too, but the owners haven't been charged or sued from what I could find.
But that's what I'm saying. Like these girls, they had to have been getting the money from the guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean from the club. They're getting the money from the guys.
With practically like a slap on the wrist, and they didn't take down the club. So, I mean, whatever. That's a WAP. I mean, rap.
Oh, funny girl.
I know, funny right? Girl. Can't stop.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that fully truthful version.
Well, listen, if you just watch the movie and you think you know the story, you don't really know the story because it's different.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, girl. Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, you guys, Gretchen just did a really good case on Ruby Ridge on our Patreon. If you guys want to go check that out, go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime. And you can get a lot of content there. You guys will love it. Head there now. And I also want to say that we love your reviews. Thank you so much. If you haven't reviewed us yet on Apple and you guys have an iPhone, please do so. And I'm going to give a couple shout outs of the people that have in the last week. First one being JMB Blast. She says, great podcast and thanks for the great Patreon content. So thank you for being a patron.
Thank you. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink to that. Rebecca Bracato. And I like how she spells her name. R-E-B-E-K-A-H. It looks really pretty. She says, I now love my Monday mornings because she has kids and we make her laugh. And she says, say goodbye to fires and earthquakes and hello to Hurricane and I think tornado zone. I know.
Oh, God. She's got a point.
I know. Texas mama of four. She loves the podcast. And She has twin toddlers, so you know how that is, Gretchy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jer021509, love this. Love listening to both of you guys. And, you know, we had vapid. And I'm going to just tell you what vapid means if anybody doesn't know, and maybe I should have known. And I think you're supposed to say it like vaped, actually. Vapid, okay. Vapid. Offering nothing that is stimulating or challenging.
Okay. Well, you know what? Fancy fucking vocabulary. First of all, eat a dick. Second of all, yeah, we're not for everyone. This clearly is not the podcast for you.
She only got a third of the way in and she didn't like that you couldn't fit into your underwear.
Well, definitely not the podcast for you. Keep it moving. Why don't you go listen to some fucking NPR or, you know.
There are a lot of really drowned out.
One of those smart people groups. I'm sure those Mensa?
Mensa.
Yeah. Those people have podcasts. Why don't you go find them? We are the housewives of true crime housewives.
Right.
Not.
We are educated.
Experts. We are, well, whatever. Okay.
We're at least to fifth grade. No.
Okay.
Just kidding. We do have college degrees. However, can't do my fifth grader's math. That's the problem.
That's a problem.
Just saying. I mean, I could if I went, you know, and like did some YouTube tutorials, but who has time for that when I am writing crimes all day long?
Hire a tutor.
Next time I talk to you, Gretchy Poo, I am going to be a resident of...
Next time we record, you're not going to not talk to me for 4 days.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not saying next time I talk to you on a Zoom. Well, hello, I'm leaving in 2 days, so it could be possible. But
yeah,
the next time that we do one of these recordings, which will be our Patreon episode, I will be a resident of...
different states.
The state of Texas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll be in Washington.
You guys, I've been getting a little bit nervous because people say that they're a little judgmental of the Californians in Texas.
Yeah. Don't advertise that you're from California.
Well, I have California license plates.
Well,
so I'm going to have to figure that one out real quick.
Change
it. And my son has a Lakers backpack. I was like, do you think you could wear that? No, probably not.
I know.
I'll go get him a Cowboys one. I like Cowboys.
Yeah, you're going to have to change that.
But I'm never going to not like the Lakers. That's just going to be my jam forever.
Oh, my God. Yeah, hate all you want. The Lakers dominate. They just dominated the playoffs.
I know. So I'm not.
And did you see the Kobe chant? I mean, it's like,
oh my gosh,
so sweet.
But you know what? It was so amazing that they won this year. Mm-hmm. It just makes it so much better.
Yeah, we got that going. We needed it.
We needed it. And then,
as much as we bitch about LA, it was like a big warm fuzzy.
It was, yeah. Is it Dallas Mavericks or is that the team? I can't.
Who gives a fuck? I don't know.
See, but I'm going to go to the Lakers games when they play there. Eventually,
oh, okay.
Whenever we can go back to, you know,
I think sports. That guy from Shark Tank, actually, Mark Cuban, owns the Dallas Mavericks or something.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this. Did you see that Gavin Newsom said for the holidays, you can't like.
Oh, yeah. They're canceling Christmas now.
Yeah. You can't have more than three families at your house at one time. I mean, this fucking is bullshit. I'm going to like call it right now.
I thought it was like something like no more than six people, which is like fine. It's like we're all going to make our own decisions. We're not canceling Christmas.
I don't think you can tell me how many of my own family members I can have at my house. I'm so sorry. That is like taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
That is.
Let's govern ourselves, please. If we feel that we are high risk, make everyone get a COVID test. Whatever. Quarantine before or not, and we're all grown ups and we'll decide. Whatever, it's up to us, not you, Newsom. Eat a dick.
Okay, so anyways,
on that note,
clink clink, everybody,
clink clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan. keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Joe Montana here. In my football days, I knew the importance of a strong defense. Now I'm sharing how you can help defend your health against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease. Are you 50 or older like me? The CDC now recommends vaccination against pneumococcal disease. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at increased risk and over 6 times greater risk of hospitalization with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50. Schedule your appointment today at vaxassist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.